I'm Algernon Cash, and you're locked in. Welcome back to the show. We always bring you thoughtful conversations about the issues shaping our communities, our economy, and our future. If you value conversations that go beyond the headlines and explore the deeper forces driving economic development and policy and business, I invite you to support this work. Your donations help us continue bringing together leaders, analysts, and thinkers who are willing to have honest discussions about the direction of our state, country, and of course, our city. You can support the show with a donation by visiting lockedin.cash and becoming a supporter. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into tourism. And I'm so grateful to have my good friend, Brandy Evans, who's the Chief Marketing Officer with Visit Winston-Salem, joining the show for the first time. And Brandy, not only is this your inaugural visit, but it is Women's History Month. So you're making history right here on Locked In. Thank you for locking in with me.
Thank you for having me. And what a, you know, special distinction.
Yeah, no, I've been wanting to do this with you for a while. For my audience, you may remember about a year ago, we had Stephanie Tyson. Stephanie Brown, who's the head of Visit Winston. She came on to the show and talked about selling Winston-Salem and how the work that they do at Visit Winston-Salem really dovetails with economic development. So I'm just so grateful to have her Chief Marketing Officer, Brandy Evans, with us today. Brandy, you and I have been getting to know each other the last couple of years or so. You relocated here from Kansas. I had to practice that to make sure I got that correct. And I've just been, and I've said this in private rooms, I've said it in public spaces, I've said it in front of you, I've said it behind your back. I've been just really impressed with the work that you're doing at Visit Winston-Salem. And so grateful to just have you here visiting with my audience today.
Well, thank you so much. And I wish I could take all the credit, but honestly, it's been like such a team effort. I really appreciate the marketing team, the sales team. We've done an incredible amount of work over the last 2 years since I've been here. Stephanie's been here going on 3 years. And I think the work that this organization has taken on has been transformational.
I totally agree. And before we get into all the great work that you all are doing here in Winston-Salem, maybe just for my audience that don't know you as well as I do, talk a little bit about sort of what brought you here to Winston-Salem.
So I love tourism. Growing up, we did not travel. I had no idea what a convention and tourist bureau was or what it did. I didn't even know they existed. I was a journalism major, originally from Los Angeles, California, and I moved to North Louisiana to go to Grambling State University when Coach Eddie Rod was there, the winningest college football coach in all of history. Nobody will ever break his record because he was at that school so long. Wow. But I went to Grambling State University. I ended up getting a job at the Shreveport Times. I was a journalism major. I was a reporter for about a year and a half and realized that that was not my jam. And so I just kind of stumbled into the tourism field, and I have been there ever since. I joined the Shreveport Bossier Convention and Tourist Bureau in January 2001, and I worked there for almost 20 years. And kind of after the pandemic, when we were all kind of, you know, reevaluating our lives, I thought, you know, now's a time to try something different. So I landed a role in Wichita, Kansas. First job that was sent to me, first one I interviewed for, and I accepted it and had a wonderful time. But I always wanted to live sort of on the East Coast. And this kind of gives me a little bit of East Coast and Southern feel. You know, I've been in the South for most of my adult life. And I took the job here 2 years ago. It'll be 2 years in May.
Now, I'm going to ask you a fun question. You said as a child, y'all never really traveled. What's the furthest trip that you ever took as a child?
So as a child, my grandparents were from South Louisiana. So Plaquemine, Louisiana, that I bet no one has ever heard of, was the furthest I had ever traveled as a child going to see family. But, you know, since, you know, kind of moving into this career, I've been to London, I've been to Thailand, I've been to Mexico and the Bahamas, and I've really gotten to travel quite a bit. And it's one of my favorite things. I think travel is transformational. I think travel is uniting. You know, when you're traveling, you're engaging with other cultures, you realize that we're way more alike than we are different. Mm. And so travel just kind of holds a special place in my heart. I get to work in it, and it's something that I've, of course, enjoy doing.
No, I asked that question because I had a similar childhood. I always tell my audience I grew up extremely poor. So we didn't go much of anywhere. You know, taking mm-hmm. a trip to Greensboro was that was a long trip for us. I remember the first time I ever drove to Greensboro on my own. I just thought I was a full grown man at that point. But I do think I love the way you talked about how travel unites and brings us together. Cause you know, I have such a passion for food. Mm-hmm. And I think food does that same thing. And it's like, no matter where you go, I don't care what city you go to, who you're visiting. It's like the number one question you ask as soon as you get into town is where should I go grab a meal?
And I want to eat like a local. Right.
Yeah.
So when I travel, I want to find out, like, what do the locals like? Right. Like, I'll ask the bellman at the hotel. Right. Where do you eat when you're off from work? What restaurants do you go to eat at? And those are the places that I love to explore.
Why do you think when we look at our communities and what I love about Winston-Salem is when we do have people in town that have never been here before and their eyes light up and they're just so excited to see some of the amenities that we have in town. Honestly, a lot of times there are amenities that we take for granted as residents. We don't think about Old Salem too often and some things that we have around town. Talk about how travel provides that connectivity to our cities and towns within North Carolina or really throughout the entire country.
Well, you know, I feel like travel is sort of like this silent industry. I mean, it's just chugging along. It is pumping millions into an economy. It is serving the local residents, but it's not always something that we think about. And having lived in multiple places and visited multiple places, there's never enough appreciation, I think, from locals of the place that they live in. And so what I love is those magical moments when we host travel writers and visitors and they come in. And to your point, we take them to Old Salem. To locals, you know, sort of like, in fact, someone asked me, why would anyone go to Old Salem? Mm. Like, why do y'all consider that an attraction? But when we bring visitors in, they get it immediately. Like, what a special little time capsule that this area is. And I always encourage people to buy the ticket because just walking the streets, it's an okay experience. But when you buy the ticket and you get to like step back in time, it's like the light bulb goes off. And we hosted some journalists in November and again in March for America 250. And so we brought these national media in. They write for Southern Living, Yahoo News, Good Housekeeping, all of these major national publications. And we took them to Old Salem and Bethabara and Rinalda. We took them to lots of attractions and restaurants, and they got it. They loved it. They think our history, sort of rooted in the Moravian culture, is really interesting. All things in love. We talked about the civil rights history. We talked about, you know, sort of that Gilded Age with Reynolds and the industrial era. And they got it. They can see it. And I think Winston-Salem is one of the few places that gets to celebrate every era of America 250, right? Not just sort of the founding or, you know, just the industrial. We kind of have a through line of all of it. And like I said, it's fascinating and it reinforces why I'm here every time I see that light bulb go off and people are just so pleasantly surprised by this community.
Brandy, had you ever visited Winston-Salem prior to moving to Winston-Salem? I'm sure you visited while you were interviewing and they were getting to know you. Yeah. But prior to that process, had you ever visited Winston-Salem?
No. I had never been here for a conference or just a leisure visit. But I will tell you, so many magical things happened when I came for my visit. So I was just, I had some downtime and I was in Body and Soul.
Okay.
And
Michael Suggs. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Ms. Suggs had no idea why I was here. I was just, you know, somebody bopping into her store. And she said, there's something about you. I feel like you, you should be here in this community. I'm like, what? And
little did you know Visit Winston-Salem had paid Miss Suggs to
right. I mean, someone set it up because it was perfect. And so she and these other women like form a circle around me and they pray for me.
Wow.
And then I'm in Old Salem and I'd come down in, I believe, like January, and it was cold and Old Salem was closed. But I was just kind of walking around and kind of bumped into these other ladies who were just, one of them was from here. The other was her sister who was visiting. And they too were just like, you should be here in this community. It was the oddest thing ever. And again, I'm just like on the front end, exploring, trying to, you know, understand what is this community? Will I fit into this community? But everybody made me feel so welcome throughout the entire process. And it's a charming place. It's completely different from any place I've ever lived in. So unlike LA, unlike North Louisiana, unlike Kansas, it's completely different. Has a little bit of that Southern charm. And I say a little bit, it has a lot of Southern charm to it. But it's quaint, it's charming. There's enough to see and do to keep you busy. You know, I feel like on weekends, I'm kind of going through my calendar going, really want to go to that. But this thing is happening at that time. So which one, you know, am I going to go and do? But no, I've really enjoyed my time here so far.
No, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that we rolled the red carpet out for you and we didn't scare you off. So no. I've got to ask the flip side of that question, of course. So, I mean, you found all these great things that you loved about our community. Was there anything that surprised you? Was there anything that turned you off about Winston-Salem at all?
I haven't found anything that turns me off, but just trying to find like all the various communities, you know, and sometimes like the events that bring out the diversity in the community, right? Yeah.
The social capital aspect of
you know, living in Louisiana, you know, it was a really diverse place. And this will be really shocking, but in Wichita, Kansas, the Black community in particular, there's a group called The Gathering, and their intent is to bring and to attract more Black professionals into the community. And so when you move in, someone gives them your name and they kind of surround you with resources. Mm-hmm. And so that was really, really nice to be able to land into a community and have all sorts of resources, right? And feel accepted in all of the different groups. And that was something that I didn't exactly find when I moved here.
You know, I think it's remarkable. That was somewhat of a loaded question for you, because I think it's remarkable that your response is almost identical to the response that I hear from most people that visit our community. They don't feel like there's a lot of this sort of crossing the cultural boundaries and coming together. And it oftentimes when you come downtown, it feels like it's just for one group of people and not for everyone, even though you and I know full well that it is for everyone. And we do have events that are welcoming for everyone. And we do want everyone to come downtown. But sometimes it's not always presented that way. And I think to hear that from people like yourself who've migrated here, who've only been here for short periods of time, but can still sense that lack of social capital is the way I describe it. Yeah. It continues to point it points at something that we certainly got to continue to work towards. I recently was at a coffee shop downtown and I met a young man who actually used to work for me when I was in the restaurant business. And I asked him to meet me downtown at a coffee shop for us to just reconnect, get together. And he's young. He's in his 20s. And I get to the coffee shop and I go in and I'm sitting there and I just notice that he's not in there. And, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes go by and I said, man, where's this guy at? I hope he didn't stand me up here. And so I reach out to him and he's sitting out in the car and he asked me, he said, are you in there? I said, yeah, I've been in here for 20 minutes. Come on in. So he comes in, you know, Brandy, and I asked him, I said, what are you doing sitting out in the car? And he said, I didn't know if I was allowed in there.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you didn't know if you were allowed in the coffee shop? He said, yeah, Mr. Cash, I didn't know if I was allowed in the coffee shop. And so I've shared this story. This happened last year. I've shared this story now at least 24 times, because I think that's something we've got to continue to work on, you know, here in our community, and just helping more and more diversity to come together. It's like we are abundant when it comes to economic capital, but we want to be just as abundant when it comes to social capital. And so I just think it's remarkable that you had almost an identical observation that others have had that I've asked that same question to. You talked about America 250.
Mm-hmm.
Old Salem is actually older than America. I don't know if people realize that or not. I mentioned that to someone about a week ago, and they said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Old Salem has been here before America was even created," which I think that's just so much rich history that we have right here in our community. I live in West Salem, so I'm walking distance from Old Salem. Okay. And I take advantage of it as often as I can, Brandy. I love just walking that old town and the cobblestone driveways and just sort of reminiscing about what life would have been back then. Visit Winston-Salem is working with America 250 at a national level to bring more attention to America's birthday. Talk about what we can see, what we'll see in town related to America 250 this year.
So last year, we set up a microsite. So one that we could begin to tell our story, such as, you know, Old Salem and Bethabara were founded before, you know, America. And so there's a wealth of information on our website. We also have been soliciting local event organizers to share their events with us. We know that, you know, Old Salem is a natural place for people from out of town who want to kind of explore that to go. But there's lots of other places to hear that story. Right. And then again, for those who have events specifically that they want to plan, we have a calendar of events that have those as well. We partnered with Mike Wakeford and Muse. And they also launched a website, and it's a beautiful website, and we're actually sharing events. So if you go to their website, you'll find the same events that are on our website. So if you click the link and add your event there, it'll populate our website and populate their website. And so, you know, we try to make those resources available to lots of partners, right? We want to make it easy on our event organizers. You know, sometimes it's a one person, you know, band who's putting these things together. And we just want to help elevate all of the events that are happening during that time. We're working really hard to generate publicity for Winston-Salem and to draw outside visitors to those. But we think it's equally important that locals are aware of those events and that they support them too.
And what are those websites? What are the addresses that people can go and get that information?
So ours is visitwinstonsalem.com. And if you type in America 250, it'll pop up. And then Muse's is, I believe, Forsyth County, America250.com. But like I said, they just launched their website.
And I've also noticed, and you guys have coached me on this because we do so many events through Eat, Drink, Triad. You have a calendar where even third-party event organizers like myself and so many others, we mm-hmm. can leverage your calendar to get the word out about events that we're hosting. Talk to my audience a little bit about that as well.
Absolutely. I think we have one of the most robust events calendars in town. And it's a partnership. It's a four-way partnership. So if you add your event to our calendar, we partner with the Arts Council, we partner with the Chamber, and we partner with Downtown Partnership. And so if your event, you know, falls underneath the interest of any of those, then they all can select adding that event to their calendar. So we've tried to make it really convenient. We get over 2 million visits to our website. So wow. We're spending a lot of time, money, effort to drive people into that website. And the events calendar is constantly in the top five of pages that people are going to. And so sometimes if you search, our events calendar will pop up even over your own page and event, because we're driving so much resources to that website to make sure that people find those events.
Wow.
And it's free. There's no cost. It has to be something that the public can attend, right? It has to have some cultural aspect to it. So generally, you know, not political events, not religious events, you know, not garage sales and those kinds of things, but festivals, food events, sporting events, all of those, we welcome and encourage people to add their events. And the beautiful thing is, like once you add your event, let's say it's an outdoor event and you have to cancel it because of impending weather, you can go in yourself and cancel the event. You don't even have to wait on us. So you can manage the events that you add to the website as well.
Yeah, I just made a note. We have our upcoming Eat, Drink, Triad Showcase. Our spring edition is happening on April 23rd. And so for my audience, that was just a shameless plug. So go ahead and I need to go to the CVB's website and make sure that we add it to your calendar as well. So we'll make sure we do that. You know, I can tell right now someone in my audience is saying, okay, CVB, I've never heard of the convention. I didn't even know one existed.
Yeah.
Or maybe they've heard Visit Winston-Salem and they didn't even know Visit Winston-Salem and the CVB was the same thing. Or maybe they just had no clue what Visit Winston-Salem was even about or what they do. And I know a lot of your messaging and a lot of your outreach is really targeted more at non-residents because you're trying to get people to come in and spend a vacation or spend a weekend or week in Winston-Salem. But to that resident that's listening to this conversation, what would you like them to know about Visit Winston-Salem and just maybe the history around CVBs and the kind of interaction and support they provide to countless cities across the country?
Yep. May 4th through the 10th is considered National Travel and Tourism Week. And it's sort of that week that organizations similar to ours all across the country sort of speak inwardly to our local audience and stakeholders, because locals are important to convention and tourist bureaus. I've been doing this for a long time. And when we started out, we were convention and tourist bureaus and really just kind of focused on marketing, which is really important, right? Because as you said, our work is primarily outside the market to drive people into the market to generate that economic impact for our local residents. And so oftentimes you don't see our TV spots, you don't hear our radio ads, you don't see our digital advertising because you're not the audience for those. But over the years, we've evolved to more of destination management organizations. And so not only are we responsible for the marketing to drive leisure visitors in, to drive those big conventions and conferences in a town, those sporting events, those motor coach buses that you see around town, we have an ever evolving role of, you know, making sure that signage is navigable for people who are in town. You know, the cleanliness of our cities are important to what we do. There are all sorts of issues that, you know, when I first started in this business, they were not things that kind of necessarily fell underneath our mandate. But now they do. And so we actually are partnered with, the chamber, and we have a survey that we're asking our locals to fill out because, you know, together we want to create a shared vision and plan for the destination because tourism and economic development, they overlap, right? So if a large company is looking at moving here, they want to know that the schools are good for their children.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know that there are things to see and do for their families. They want their communities to be safe for their employees, right? Like there are all these layers that tourism impact, right? So, you know, as the amphitheater comes on board and our convention center, our restaurants, our hotels, all of those things support the positive economic development of our community. And they make our community attractive to people who want to move here, people who want to start a business here, move a business here, or just come for a vacation. And so what's good for a visitor is generally good for a resident, right? So soccer fields, for instance. Soccer fields are important to the local teams who play, but it's also an asset for our sports sales team who's trying to bring in soccer tournaments from out of the area. And when those people come to town, they're going to stay in our local hotels. They're going to go and eat out at our restaurants. They're going to have to gas up the vehicles. They might run to Walmart to get some snacks and water to put into their room. And so everywhere they go, they leave behind their sales tax dollars, right? Eventually, they go back to their respective cities And we keep those sales taxes. We don't have to provide an education and city services to them. So it's like extra money for the community, which is why tourism is extremely important and is good for residents.
Thank you for sharing that, especially the end of it, because I don't think people always clearly connect the dots between how tourism equates to economic development and job creation and job sustainability and a lot of the things that we know are important for a community to be healthy. And so I think you did a great job explaining that. And it's also why, you know, people have heard me talking more and more recently about the idea of a prepared foods tax, because I know they're looking at that in Greensboro and over in Guilford County. And they say, oh, my God, Algernon wants to raise taxes. No way. But you really got to look at this thing a little bit more broadly. I mean, there's a lot of people that come in and out of our community and out of our counties and our cities that don't necessarily live here. Mm-hmm. And if we can some kind of way help get them to help us finance the types of infrastructure expansion and development that we need to do here, I think that's a great thing. I think that's a strategy that we need to be deploying. And then also for my audience that's wondering, man, where's Visit Winston-Salem getting all this money from to do all these activities and make all these investments? Well, a lot of the revenue comes from the hospitality tax. Mm-hmm. So again, it's people coming in to visit our community that's supporting and financing a lot of the efforts that Brandy and Stephanie are pursuing. And that's also helping to uplift our entire communities and our region. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And I sort of look at you guys like the cheerleading team, not in a derogatory way, but like you're like a cheerleading squad for Winston-Salem. And every great team needs a great cheerleading team, because everybody needs to know how well the team is doing. I do want to ask you, you mentioned the survey that's going on, and I'm starting to hear more and more chatter around town about it. And I'm when I go in and out of meetings, people are asking, hey, have you gotten the email? Did you take the survey? What did you think about it? At the end of the day, for someone who's listening to this, where are all these responses going? And then at the end of the day, what are we hoping to achieve with this plan that may manifest out of the survey?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, we're partnering with the chamber. And so they've hired experts, you know, to put these surveys and things together. They're going to compile all the data. But not only are they looking at surveys, but they're looking at all of the vision and planning that's been done right in the past. And we're asking locals to tell us, what do you think? Like, what's missing? What's good? Help us fill in the blanks so that we can create a long-term vision for the community. And there'll be other surveys and opportunities to provide input. But, you know, having lived in other communities and done this, like the best thing we can do as a community is voice our opinions. You know, sometimes, you know, if you're not careful, only a select few. And those are the people who are always sharing their voices, are kind of leading those efforts. I hope that we are inundated with surveys being filled out from people at all throughout the community, right? So that we really can have a good understanding of what the community feels like it needs. And like I said, the chamber has been doing a great job of getting the word out. We've been partnering with them. We're going to have a survey in our tourism newsletter that goes out this Wednesday to try to get more of our partners involved. But we really do want to hear from people. We have to hear from people. And I think, you know, to your point, going back to the example of the young man sitting outside, not knowing if he's welcomed in, like here's his opportunity to share his thoughts about this community and to be heard and for there to be a diverse cross section of everybody in the community who speaks up and, you know, let us all know what their needs are.
Brandy, where can they find the survey if my audience wanted to participate in this?
The chamber actually has it on their website. So they should be able to find it there. They created a microsite just for this. But, you know, if someone emails me, brandy@visitwinstonsalem.com, I'd be happy to send them the link.
Yeah, I want to encourage my audience to really, you know, take her word seriously and to participate. I do agree with what Brandy just said. Oftentimes, we're so vocal, and everybody knows I'm probably one of the most vocal, but we're so vocal about what's happening in our community, but it's not enough just to talk about it. As I always say, you got to do something about it. That's either participate or show up to a meeting or, you know, participate in the survey. I mean, that may be the action that you can take to sort of let your voice be heard. You know, Brandy, I'm running out of time, so I've only got time for a couple more questions. But, you know, one area that people have been very vocal about is our downtown. And, you know, I just led a series of conversations this year at the outset of 2026, where we've been talking about some issues happening in downtown Greensboro. If you look at the headlines, Charlotte, Raleigh, Durham, everybody's having an issue with their downtown right now. You're talking to people that are coming in and visiting our community, writing about our community, highlighting our community. What is their thoughts and perspective of what's going on in downtown Winston-Salem?
So what I hear from travel writers, for instance, who we might put up at the Kempton Cardinal or Brookstown Inn, they love the walkability of our downtown, right? Like that's the first thing that they say is, oh, I love how easy it is to walk around here. And so, you know, I think when we're in a bubble as residents, you know, we see a place close and it upsets us, right? And I get that. But I think from an outsider's perspective, when they see our downtown, for many of them, they don't have as many things in their downtown area that we do have. We announced 2 weeks ago, we're going to be hosting the Visit NC conference here in Winston-Salem. And people were so excited. They were like, I love your downtown. They're going to be at the Benton Convention Center and the Marriott and, you know, other hotels throughout downtown. And they're looking forward to it. So it's like, you know, sometimes we are hard on ourselves. We see the challenges and rightfully so. But I think sometimes we don't see enough of the good, too. You know, it's like the 99 and the one. Got 99 things going on, but it's the one thing that upsets me and keeps me up all night. And so people were super excited about being in downtown Winston-Salem. So I think we still have a lot of good stuff going on. Obviously, we want to protect it. We want to grow it. We want to get, you know, we want all of our businesses downtown to be healthy. We want them to be there long term. But I think we can't forget about the good stuff. And in remembering, we have to go and support, too. Right. Like if we want a healthy, vibrant downtown, you know, every now and then we got to go downtown. Right. We've got to go to that restaurant that we keep seeing in our Facebook feed. Oh, yeah, I want to go to, you know, whatever is your Moselle's, you know, Betty on Berg, Spotted Cow, you know, any of these places, Old Calcutta. You got to show up too, right? And so not only do we have to make our voices heard, but we have to support with our dollars too. And I know these are tough economic times, but if we want to have a healthy and thriving downtown, we have to be part of the solution.
I totally agree. And I don't know if this article came from Visit Winston-Salem, but there was a young lady who visited recently. Apparently, I think she grew up here in Winston, and she was talking about how often she likes to get back to Winston. And she wrote this really great piece. And I wish I could remember the author's name, but it's been making its rounds on Facebook here the last several weeks or so. Yeah. And it's been sort of a split reaction. Some people are like, man, this is great. And I think I even saw you share it, Brandy, if I'm not mistaken, or you maybe liked it or something like that. But then some other people have been like, well, this isn't true. I don't agree with this. This is not what I'm seeing. And last week I had a group in town looking at a piece of property that we're pursuing downtown Winston. And none of these people are from here. They're all from other parts of the state of North Carolina. And they were just raving about downtown Winston-Salem. And they're like, gosh, it's so nice here. And just look how cool this place is and everything else. And I'm just sitting there observing. My question is this. How do we reconcile the two, Brandy? Like, I mean, we've got folks that are coming to town and they're not in the bubble. And they definitely have a much different perspective than residents. But we also need residents to be on board with this, too. Right. Like it's not helpful if you bring that travel writer in and when they talk to the bartender at their hotel, their bartender says this place sucks because they're living here. So how do you close the gap between those two different messaging?
I will tell you, it's tough. I lived in Shreveport, Louisiana, and that was like from my role with the destination marketing organization there, the locals was my greatest challenge. Because visitors came in and they loved the festivals, they loved the restaurants, they loved the events, you know, they loved the experience. And to your point, I'd have locals who would dogged. And I'll give you an example. Shreveport has an 8-day festival called Red River Rebel Arts Festival. And so it draws like 200,000 people to the area over the course of those 8 days, primarily from that Texas region in Arkansas. And the visitors come, they have a great time. They love the music and the food and all the entertainment. My social media manager would make a post about it, right? Share photos and video and content. And most of the comments were from locals going, why would someone come to this? Right. And so like all the effort that we were putting in to drive people into the community to spend dollars that actually support local residents. We were having local residents go in and say, no, don't come. Wow. Don't bring your money. Essentially is what you're saying. Don't come. Don't bring your money. Don't support us.
Wow.
And so that is it can be very tough. I haven't seen that as much here. And I think social media sometimes can give us the impression that that's how everybody feel. Because if you're just looking at your feed and, you know, there's 100 comments and, you know, half of them are negative, but I don't subscribe to that's how everybody feels. And that those 50 comments represent 50% of the community. I hear a lot of positive talk actually about this community. And I will say when I came down during my interview process, right? People had no idea why I was here. And I would just ask random questions, right? Because I wanted to know, was I walking into a place like a Shreveport? Where if I asked, you know, the server, you know, I have another hour. What else is there to do? And they couldn't come up with anything. Or they go, oh, you should go somewhere else. Then I knew this wasn't the community for me. And I didn't run into that, you know? And so, you know, that is a challenge. I most certainly am not ever asking people to be unrealistic and to just only look at their community with rose glasses. But, you know, we can get caught up just focusing on the negative when there are positives that other communities would kill to have. And so, you know, we just don't want to take those for granted. Right. We want to acknowledge the positive, support the positive as we acknowledge and work on the challenges, too.
And now my audience can see why Brandy Evans is the chief marketing officer at Winston-Salem. She is doing a heck of a job selling Winston-Salem. And I sleep a little better at night knowing that you and Stephanie are down at the CVB. Real quick, any events coming up this year that we just need to make sure we're aware of or save the date or jot down or any big ones coming up this year?
You know what? I just encourage everybody to bookmark visitwinstonsalem.com/events. Just bookmark it. Go on there on a Thursday and look at all of the events that are coming up. We have winery events. We have brewery events. There's music and entertainment. There are performing arts. Like, there's just so much to see and do. It's hard to just like kind of pull out a few off the top of my head. But people should just bookmark that and come back to it. Also, if you follow us on social media, we put out a monthly events calendar where we'll just kind of compile it all in one place for you. We also do weekly kind of weekend what's happening so that you can kind of see some of the bigger events that are coming out for the weekend. But yeah, I just encourage people to make that events calendar a regular rotation when they're trying to find things to see and do.
And I want to personally encourage my audience to follow Visit Winston-Salem online, follow them on Instagram. Their social media manager does a heck of a job producing great content and reels, highlighting our local restaurants and our businesses. So make sure you do go give them a follow. I want to thank Brandy for locking in with me and helping me to celebrate Women's History Month. We don't want to just celebrate women when they're gone. We don't want to give them their flowers late. We want to give them their flowers while they're actively working and help them change the community. And that's what Brandy Evans is doing as Chief Marketing Officer at Visit Winston-Salem. And I want to thank you and everyone who continues to listen, watch and support these conversations. If you believe in thoughtful discussions about public policy and the future of our communities, I encourage you to support the show. Your donations help make these conversations possible and allow us to continue bringing together leaders and analysts who can provide real insight into the issues shaping our state and our city. You can support the program with a donation by visiting lockedin.cash and becoming a supporter. You can also subscribe to my podcast on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Or you can share this episode on your social media channels. Until next time, I'm Algernon Cash, and you've been locked in.
The executive producer of the Locked In podcast is Algernon Cash for WGC. The associate producer is Tim Beeman for Such and Such Media. This podcast is copyrighted and cannot be reproduced without express written consent of WGC.